Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this on Friday, November 21st, and I invited Dave Krzyzewski, team lead in our Chicago office, to talk about the dairy markets with me. I didn't have anything specific to talk about other than the fact that the markets have felt very bearish. Well, not felt very bearish. We've seen substantial declines in dairy prices across Europe, New Zealand, and the U.S., and I'm just trying to figure out if there's anything in these markets to get bullish about at this point. So what do you think, Dave? Are there bullish risks for this market, or do we keep going down?
Well, I would say that there are always bullish risks, but the short answer is not right now or no at the moment. I mean, that's really what it appears to be. Anywhere you look, there is bearish information, there's bearish price action, there's bearish commentary, there's bearish emotion in the market. And so actually that in and of itself might be the most bullish aspect of dairy right now, is that nobody can foresee any real good sustainable reason for the market to ever move higher. In fact, I just happened to look at the January butter and cheese futures contract, before hopping into the podcast here, Nate, and it was 16 of the last 18 weeks January butter has closed lower, and 13 of the last 18 weeks January cheese has closed. So this is not only even didn't just develop here. It's really kind of been emboldened over the past couple of months, and market bottoms tend to be the absolute most bearish time, right? You know, it starts slowly and then it trickles into a situation where we all have it figured out and the prices should never recover. And we're very close to that point right now.
I don't know about very close, but we're getting there. In my mind, I don't know that we've pushed prices low enough, dairy prices low enough, to cause dairy farmers to make significant reductions in milk production or to slow down the growth that we're seeing in milk production. Do you think, let's see, what are we at, like $1.55 butter on the futures and $1.50 cheese is going to be low enough to cause the farmers to slow down milk production?
Well, it's good. I don't know. I to your point, I mean, I guess the way that I see it, I have a different kind of hypothesis. I guess I would say probably not. Not given the fact that their income on the beef side of the equation has been so, so beneficial to their on-farm profitability over the past year or even longer, but really the past year specifically. So I would say that they're somewhat insulated at the moment from, obviously they're looking at these prices go down and it probably doesn't feel great, but I think most producers are doing okay, especially if they hedged. And so what I would say is one sneaky story that I think it's kind of a hypothesis that I have. We haven't gotten the Commitment of Traders reports from CFTC because the government's been shut down. We're starting to get that to trickle in here now, but we won't be up to speed on, the current state of who's doing what in the marketplace until like the 23rd of January. So it's going to take several months to, look through all this data. But my guess would be that I think in certain markets like class three and cheese and probably butter and non-fat as well, actually across the board, and I'll tell you why, I think the producer merchant category of the CFTC report, the Commitment of Traders report, will show that the producer merchants are pretty heavily short. The producer merchant would be representing anybody who's, like large forward contracting programs through co-ops or proprietary cheese plants. They would be represented. If the end user, the big restaurant chains, et cetera, if they were, and they've probably been participating in these markets on the way down, of course. But if they were net long, that category would show that, there's more buyers than sellers in the, it, that, that have hedged. I actually think that the producers have done a really good job. I think I underestimated this for most of this year. I think what they've done is they've offset their dairy risk over the last really 2 months and said, you know what, I'm going to just keep my lights on, basically. I'm going to make sure I at least sell a break-even price on milk. I'll keep my lights on with that, and then I'll make my money on beef. And so that's why we've had this string, I mean, constant sell side. There's other participants, don't get me wrong, on the sell side, but I think that the consistency with which we walk into the office every week, or, you know, we're watching these markets every week, the consistency with which the market is selling off is pretty staggering. I mean, generally, even in the worst bear markets, you end up getting a bounce or something changes, you know, and we haven't had any of that. We've just had this consistent sell side. And I think dairy farmers are a big part of that. I think they've gone in and said, hey, listen, we're going to go ahead and, you know, time will tell, right? We have to see whether or not that producer merchant category is net short in a very big way. But that's my expectation.
When I've looked at changes in open interest in the futures contracts or seasonality in the open interest in the past, we often see the open interest for the following year really start to pick up during October and into November. And my assumption there has always been that end users are starting, they're kind of done with the budgeting cycle for the following year and are starting to put those hedges into place. I don't know. I get the feeling that end users have been participating and buying this market as it's been declining. Do we have any statistics? I know we don't have the CFTC data, but do we have any data on open interest and how that's developing for the dairy markets?
Yes, absolutely. So, I think I said a week ago or something, somebody, that 2025 is the year of protein for dairy, maybe 2024 also. But, you know, proteins have been the big thing, but the sneaky story to some degree of 2025, really the big, but it's a big story, is just how much bigger the U.S. dairy market has gotten. When I say that, I mean the futures markets, the options markets, even the OTC markets. So I talked to Mary Eklund in our office and kind of got some sense that our OTC volume is up, you know, pretty good from last year. She didn't have an exact percentage at the moment, but I would guess 20 or 25% over last year. There seems to be a preference people have warmed up to the OTC markets. It's taken 15 years and it's had ebbs and flows, no doubt. But there seems to be a more consistent drive towards OTC activity, at least through StoneX in 2025. So that's interesting. But then I look over at the exchange, and for folks that don't have an OTC swap account, the exchange is very busy. You know, so open interest across all contracts, futures and options, are up substantially from this time last year. I'll pinpoint a couple. The cheese futures contract is up 142% from this time last year. I mean, it's more than double the size that it was. Now, a lot of this, I think, had... you know, kind of was ushered in by the FMMO changes. We kind of got that monkey off our back and we made the cheese contract, this hybrid contract, a block contract. And I think that ushered in a lot of interest in using cheese futures once again. So, but that's substantial. I mean, we're talking about 400 million pounds of cheese additionally represented in the open interest in the cheese market. That's pretty substantial. We went from, like, to give you an example, we went from 260 million pounds hedged in 2024, you know, all contracts listed, to 660 plus million pounds in 2025 right now, currently. So a lot of activity. So I think you're absolutely right. The buy side, the end users, they've absolutely been participating in this market. They are a little bit less aggressive. And I can tell you just from personal experience and viewing who's doing what, on the StoneX desk, there are some customers that are pretty active and even probably more active than ever in terms of getting hedges on. And there are some that are holding back and waiting because there is this kind of perceptible belief that prices have one way to go now, and that's down. They might be right about that, but there is a little complacency on the buy side, no doubt about it. But when we look at this, the butter, the other one is a great example. Butter open interest is up 28% from this time last year, but butter options open interest is up 75%. So, I mean, you've got these big, big numbers and shifts in markets. There are more people participating in these markets, hands down. And I think that's a good thing for a few reasons. One, it obviously provides more liquidity, and so more you can get more get more contracts bought or sold. You can get your prices. You get your orders filled closer to where the current price is. More liquidity is better for everybody. And also I think it kind of can give us a better sense that there's more people participating in these markets. In some sense, more might be better in terms of prognosticating price.
And so far, the prognostications have been relatively bearish, with non-fat forward curve backwardated, with the cheese forward curve backwardated. I guess butter is the only thing that's kind of flat to higher. It sure seems like the market is expecting further downward pressure on these prices. So one thing I learned early on, I came into the market in late 2005, and like it seems quaint now, but we had went from $16 class three in late 2015 to 2005 to something like $12 to $13 milk in early 2006. And that felt like a big drop for somebody that was just coming into the commodity markets. Wow, this $3 drop in milk in a couple of months. But what I learned from that was, when prices are falling, you need to start looking forward in time to see when the market's going to turn and what's going to cause the market to turn. So I guess at this point, the question becomes, the market's bearish, prices are declining, but at some point it's going to turn higher again. What do we need to watch for as an indicator that we've finally hit bottom?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know. I mean, it depends on who you are. I mean, I think there's probably some fundamental aspects that you want to be watching for. There's probably some technical aspects. What I like to watch for, I like to watch the price behavior, because I do think that price leads the data. Price action leads the information that we end up getting most of the time. So what I'm looking for is, a directional shift, whether that's on spot or futures. But it also, the relationship between spot and futures, I think, is, critically important. So, like we said, the spot markets right now are at a premium to the futures in cheese, non-fat and dry whey. Not quite the case in butter, though we seem to be working towards flattening that market out. But what is that telling the market? That's telling the market, don't build huge inventories here. I'm not sure how that's how we're going to avoid doing that with all the capacity that we have on coming online. But ultimately, I want to see price behavior change. And I think that will start to, show some signs before we get the news.
In my mind, the turning point is going to be when milk production growth is clearly slowing down. When you can look at the data, see the trend, and say, okay, if it keeps slowing at this pace, we're going to be, down to year ago levels by, pick your month, July, August, September, whatever it is. It's at that point when the buyers start to get a little bit more fear, and the sellers say, okay, things are tightening and I'm going to stop selling into this, right? So I don't know, maybe we'll get a surprise in some of the data, particularly the cold storage data could have some surprises that would give this market a bump higher. But in my mind, most of the bearishness is driven by the supply, and we really need to see that supply slowing down before you can see the market make a sustainable turn higher.
No, that's logical and rational, and it makes sense. And I'm leaning a little bit more heavy on the demand side getting a vote, so to speak, in terms of price. And the demand side is the one that really it's trying to suss out, because there does seem to be a lot of mixed messages in the economy overall. But if we start to look at a situation where inflation, starts to rear up again in 2026, for commodities generally, I do wonder if that doesn't spill over into dairy a little bit.
All right, Dave. Thanks for your time today.
You got it. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
The StoneX dairy team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through SA Stone Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and SA Stone Investment Advisors Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of StoneX Group Inc. StoneX Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales. Company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority registration number FRN 446717 to provide to professional and eligible customers, including arrangement, execution and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange-traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. StoneX Financial Europe SA. SFE is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under Company No. RC Lux B 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. StoneX Financial Pte Ltd Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8RSFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and is a capital market service licensee for dealing in capital market products. An exempt financial advisor for advising on investment products and issuing or promulgating analyses/reports on investment products and a major payment institution for cross-border money transfer service. StoneX Financial HK Limited C. No. BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. StoneX Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. StoneX Financial Thai Limited, SFA Akin, 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, AFSL, 345646. StoneX Securities Co. Limited, SSJ Co. Reg. No. 01040104799 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Sir. ISIS Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator. Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions, and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any financial product. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and does not create a binding obligation on any of the StoneX Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM Division of Stone X Financial Inc., SFI NFAID 0476094, or Stone X Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652, and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the Stone X group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, this podcast. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group, Inc. The podcast herein is not directed to, or intended for distribution to or use by, any person or entity who is a citizen or resident of or located in any locality, state, country, or other jurisdiction where such distribution, publication, availability, or use would be contrary to law or regulation. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group, Inc. All rights reserved.